Philippians chapter 3. It's a tremendous song we sang. We're looking at the cross of Christ, the crucifixion of Christ this morning, what atonement means, and that's all involved in our commemoration of the death of Christ and the appreciation we have for what he has done for us. The cross is the center, basically, of everything. The cross stands the greatest event in history. There's nothing greater. God's remedy for sin, God's solution to man's sin problem. And as the cross, they say that the ground at the foot of the cross is level. In other words, we come to Christ. Doesn't matter what our social position is, doesn't matter how much money we have, doesn't matter how much prestige. Everyone comes to Christ the same way we need to. And Christ, that cross, is not only a solution to man's sin problem, but it is also the divider between those that are right and those that are wrong in their relationship with God. The Bible says Jesus was crucified, one on the right and one on the left. It's interesting to note, one was repentant, one was not repentant. Jesus, the divider of the repentant and the non-repentant. I did not say the religious and the non-religious. Think that one through. It's a very sobering fact. Not the religious and the non-religious, the repentant and the non-repentant. And so, you can be religious. We can be religious and non-repentant. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17 says, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as we have for an example." In other words, follow those who follow Christ. Be of the repentant. Mark them that are repentant and follow them. Make sure you're on the proper side of the cross, the repentant side. Verse 18, "For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." So we have those we mark who are repentant, who are walking in the ways of God. We have the cross dividing, and then we have the group that are non-repentant, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, and who mind earthly things. Two groups with the cross dividing. And the only way you can get from the one group to the other group is at the cross. That's the only way you can transfer from one to the other. But there's a warning here that there's a group who are the enemies of the cross. And I find it interesting that he does not say where they are. He would somewhat almost imply that they could be religious. He almost somewhat could imply that they could be in the church. He doesn't say that. However, I would like to look at some things this morning that could put us as enemies of the cross of Christ. The cross of Christ, the crucifixion of Christ, was the supreme act of God, the evidence of the love of God, and our attitude toward that can make us either friends of the cross or enemies of the cross. Second Corinthians 2. You ever hear somebody say, yeah, well, that's what he did, or that's what she did, but it didn't quite smell right. You ever hear that? Stunk just a little. This didn't quite smell right. You know, as Christians, you know that you smell. Second Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be to God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved, and in them that perish. To the one, we are the savor of death. To the other, the savor unto life, who is sufficient unto these things. So we smell. We can smell either of life or we can smell of death. Well, one way I believe that we can be enemies of the cross of Christ is to basically ignore the fact or twist the fact of what happened at the cross. The cross, the blood of Jesus Christ, is absolute central to Christianity. And I cannot comprehend this, but I'm told that in some Christian churches of America, they are forbidden to preach on the blood of Christ because they say it's gross. If we take the cross of Christ and the blood of Christ out of Christianity, brothers and sisters, this morning, we don't have anything left. And I don't know how people believe that they're going to make it to heaven without the cross of Christ or the blood of Christ. I talked to a young man one time, and we were in this deep, dark discussion. Deep discussion, I guess. It's plenty dark for me, but anyhow. In our conversation, he said that Jesus was a lamb slain before the foundation of the earth, and so he was saved before the foundation of the earth, and so nothing he could do about it. He would just say, whatever. And I says, now you tell me that I asked, so what happened at Calvary? And he said, nothing. Jesus just went through the process to help us to understand what happened way back there before the foundation of the world. I said, now wait a minute. You're telling me that the blood of my Savior did nothing except show what happened before us. I can't buy that. There is no way. That is the foundation of my relationship with God. We can ignore the cross by saying, well, Christianity is just living a good life. I had a man tell me that one time. Being a Christian is living a good life. I said, so your church does not require that you be born again? Oh, no. No, it doesn't. He said, you can't know anyhow. I said, oh, yes, you can know. Go home and read 1 John. We can become enemies of the cross by believing false doctrine in relation to the cross. There are people who believe that what we're going to do this morning, that when Brother Arnie blesses the bread and blesses the cup, that they actually turn into the literal body and blood of Jesus. That's called transubstantiation. Does it? No. Does it? Does what we partake of here this morning, because we ingest it, put God inside of us? No. What does that do with the salvation aspect of the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ? Turns it mechanical, doesn't it? I'm saved because I have Jesus in me, because I ate that this morning. Or there are people say that, well, at the cross, everything that was evil was taken care of. So sickness is evil. So based on salvation at the cross, I can pray and God will heal me all the time, just like he does spiritually. No. We are not guaranteed physical healing like we are guaranteed spiritual healing at the cross. That's false doctrine. We can become enemies of the cross of Christ by simply ignoring it. Okay, we don't have any false things. We don't promote anything. We just neglect it. And we say, oh, well, all roads lead to the top of the mountain. Yeah, you hear that? All roads lead to the top of the mountain. So if you're, doesn't matter what faith, what religion, whatever, all roads lead to the top of the mountain. And I read recently, and I wish I could remember the percentage, but I'm sure it's between 20 and 40, and I can't remember what it was. I wish I knew exactly, but between 20 and 40% of all Americans believe you can get to heaven aside from the blood of Christ. So, if you can, who cares? Pretty dangerous place to be, right? That's where our culture is heading. That's where our culture is heading. But if the church can't preach the blood of Christ, where do you expect our culture to end up? We can't expect anything else. We can become enemies of the cross of Christ simply by doubting whether the blood of Christ actually takes away our sin. So if you and I, as a Christian, have acknowledged our sin and put them under the blood of Jesus Christ, folks, do we believe that actually happened to the point where we refuse to go back and pick them up again? Do I go back and reiterate and wonder whether I was forgiven for what I did 20 years ago? Knowing that they are confessed and they are under the blood. See, that's saying that maybe I'll have to go through this two or three times, or maybe four times. And if you want to stop at four times, maybe you have to do it 20 times. And if that doesn't work, maybe you should put these little things on them and you do it every day. Little beads on a string, maybe? Do I honor the blood of Christ by saying, no, I will not go back and pick that up. I refuse to. That is taken care of. The blood of Jesus Christ is more than adequate to take care of that. I will not dig it up. Do I doubt where that really happened? And if I do doubt, where does it come from? Do I claim the power? Now that was, the other one was kind of negative. Now we're going to go on the other side. Do I claim the power of the blood of Christ that allows me to live for God effectively every day? Or am I trying to slug this out on my own? Do I believe that he helps me carry my sorrows and my infirmities? Do I believe that? Do I reach out and claim the power of the cross? Is it just an item, or is there power there that enables me on a daily basis to live above sin? Do I claim that power? Am I getting out of it what everything that God wants me to get out of it? Am I an enemy of the cross of Christ by refusing to forgive whom God has already forgiven? Now, we talked about me picking up my garbage out of the past. Now the question is, am I picking up somebody else's garbage out of the past? Am I doing myself a favor, God a favor, the church a favor, if someone has confessed something and I go and say, oh yeah, but guess what he did 20 years ago? He has a lot to talk about. Or she or whoever. And I'm still holding that. And I'm resenting that person. And I'm dwelling on their faults and their problems. You know, it's the same as what we can do personally. Now, we can just take it to the, you know, we can dwell on our own faults and our own problems. What's that smell like? Kind of stinks, doesn't it? Is it right for me to take my past and heap it back on me? Is it right for me to take your past and heap it back on you? When it's under the blood? Isn't that dishonoring the blood of Christ? Another way we can become an enemy of the cross of Christ is we claim salvation, but we just keep on sinning. I'm a Christian. I go to church and I do all these things and I this and I that. I just keep on looking at porn, and maybe I'll just cheat a little bit my income tax, and maybe I'll just gossip a little bit, or maybe I'll just, you know, what the Bible calls that? Calls that presumptuous sin. In other words, I know it's happening. It's not an accident. I know the problem's there. I know that it keeps going over and over and over, but I know that the blood of Jesus is going to cover it. That's presumptuous sin. I am calculating that I can keep doing, and I'm calculating that the blood of Jesus is going to take care of this. Now, how serious do you think our view of the blood of Jesus if we're going to carry that kind of an attitude? Pretty cheap, right? Oh, yeah, he just hands it out, and we all get it real freely. And so what's the big deal? I can just pray my little prayer in the evening, Lord, sorry about everything that happened today, and go to sleep. And the blood of Jesus takes care of that. Really? David didn't believe that. He said, save me from presumptuous sin. Save me from presuming on the love and the mercy and the grace of God. Romans says, should we sin that grace may abound? God forbid! We're not supposed to be in that cycle. We're supposed to be living above that. Yeah, there's lots of room for our failures. You know, if there wasn't, we'd all be done for. God has his mercy and his love, and everything's infinite. But there's a point where we can become insulting to the blood of Christ. We can insult it by presuming. Or we can become an enemy of the cross of Christ by just giving up. All right, now I don't want to give up going to church. I don't want to give up being a church member. But this whole Christianity thing is too much. And the devil's too big and God's too little and I'm too little. And so we'll just kind of keep a little veneer going here. And you know, we're no match for the devil. So, since we're no match for the devil, then the Bible calls that giving place to the devil. Do we honestly believe, that the cross of Jesus Christ disarmed Satan? The power of the cross disarmed Satan. Or have I bought this fact that I'm no match for the devil? And that's true. But God and I are a match for the devil. We are more than a match for the devil. Because of the cross of Christ, he is conquered and he will always be conquered. The church will win and the devil will lose. Now don't say that lightly, because there's a battle out there, folks. This is not a playground, this is a battleground we're in. America is making itself a playground, but folks, it is a battleground. It's a battleground. We've got to be on the right side of the cross, the repentant side of the cross. When we're on the repentant side of the cross, we and God can win and will win. But that is by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we have to make conscious decisions to remain on the winning side. And we can't buy this thing that I'm done for before I start. We can't buy that. We can become enemies of the cross of Christ by refusing to share the cross, the shame, and the reproach that he bore. Now, I don't know how you look at it, but I hope you know that you will not get through life without being shamed. And I may have said this before, I remember saying it in Holmes County. But folks, we pick our shame. Everyone will be shamed. You will either be shamed here because you are on the repentant side, living for God, or you will be shamed at the judgment. One of the two. Pick our shame. You and I can divert put off our shame. All right? I don't want to be shamed now. And we can put it off, but we will be shamed. So it's not a matter, will I be shamed? The matter is when. We pick it. And if we profess to be a Christian and refuse to bear the shame, would not we be an enemy of the cross? The good thing is that if we pick our shame now, we still have Christ on our side. And it's all right. It's all right. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's all right. We can be an enemy of the cross by simply failing to share what happened there. You know, if we're really for something, we'll be talking about it. We will take it serious. All right? If I am for the cross of Christ, if I am of the repentant, if I am the ones that are smelling of a sweet savor to God, then I will share that, not only with my lips, but with my lifestyle. Jesus died for the people at Prairie. Right? Jesus died for only the people at Prairie. Right? Wrong. So if Jesus died for everyone in Prairie and everyone aside from Prairie, it is a worldwide proclamation and we do no one a favor, ourselves nor God, by keeping it within these walls. Actually, we are working against what God intended this message to be, and that is going out. Are we hoarding salvation? Are we absorbed with everything in this world except our salvation? Are we sacrificing for the good of others, not only in Prairie, but in our communities around us, to proclaim the gospel? And I end by simply asking, which side of the cross are you on? How do you smell? Are you a friend? Or are you an enemy? Am I a friend or an enemy? God bless you.